Have you ever wondered what was going on between the ears of your crush? Ever wondered where things are going with the guy you're dating? Are you dissatisfied with your love life? Are you happily attached but still want to improve things? If so, you have come to the right place. I am proud to share with you that your search is over. You are now listening to
What Is He Thinking?
What is he thinking?
What is he thinking?
The Dating and Relationship Podcast for the benefit of women from the perspective of men. And now, without further ado, your host, Alexander B. Stevens.
You are now listening to The Authentic Male Perspective on Dating and Relationships.
Season 2, Episode 7, Episode 29 overall, the first episode of 2022. Let's go! What's going on? This is Alexander B. Stevens, your host to your favorite podcast entitled, What Is He Thinking? This is the podcast where we do not...
Come here, little thing. Let me whisper in your ear. Tell you sweet nothings that you like to hear. Why do you manipulate, mess with your head so we can get you where we want inside of the bed? You heard what I said. The other places you'll be misled, so they can fat in their pockets instead. Lucky for you, Alexander doesn't do that too. He said to give you the unabridged truth from the male bingo view, so your love life can be lovely to you and it can do nothing but get better and improve.
Because here at the What Is He Thinking podcast, we're actually trying to help. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, then you have come to the right place. This episode, we're going to do something a little bit different. We started the season off the way we started off, but right now I wanted to give you some tools that you could use beyond the podcast to help yourself out. And then the rest of the podcast, I wanted to take the last tool that I share with you and go into depth about some of the things it talks about. Okay, I'm not Oprah, but hey, Oprah has a book club. So let's go on ahead and start a book club here at the What Is He Thinking podcast. Last season, I bought up a book to you that you should buy, read, and implement into your day-to-day life entitled The Science of Happily Ever After, What Really Matters in the Quest for Enduring Love by Ty Teixeira. So, of course, that's going to be our first book on the book list. I halfway talked about this book already approximately 12 months ago, so I'm not going to go into it again. But definitely check that out. His first publishing was in 2014, and it had another publishing at the beginning of last year. So definitely get a hold of that. Basically, that book just talks about how you only get a handful of wishes when choosing your ideal partner, why most people screw these up, and exactly what type of traits you should be looking for in a mate. The next book and the first new book I want to bring up on the podcast I read a couple months ago is entitled Marry Him, The Case for Settling for Mr. Good Enough by Lori Gottlieb. Lori is a licensed marriage and family therapist. She has a master's in psychotherapy, and she is an author, writer, and public speaker. This book, depending on where you go, has slightly above average ratings and reviews to excellent ratings and reviews. So why is it all over the place? Why do some places think the book is just okay, while other places think the book is great? Well, in my opinion, I think it is because of what is in the book and how it doesn't necessarily mesh with current day 2022 Western cultural norms and political correctness. The other issue this book might have is that it is a little bit repetitive in the latter half. She makes three or four excellent points the first half of the book, and basically the rest of the book is talking to different people and using different methods to repeat these same points again. Some people will not like that, and other people will love that there are different ways and different sources that she's going to come to the same conclusion, and it'll kind of hammer home the points she's trying to make and assure the reader that what she's saying is indeed correct. Enough with the negative, let's get into the positive and the actual reasons that I think it would be a great idea for you to read this book, especially if you are a woman under the age of 32. This book was published a little over a decade ago, and it is basically an extended remix spinoff of the very controversial article that she wrote in March of 2008 on The Atlantic, basically making the point that maybe her and other women need to stop chasing the elusive Mr. Perfect Prince Charming and instead go for Mr. Good Enough. To me, this book is written half autobiographical and half clinically educational. Basically, this book is a descriptive written account of her journey talking to different dating coaches, matchmakers, clergy, marriage counselors, married and single men and women, to try to determine why certain women, such as herself, who have always wanted to be married, end up single and unmarried, or at least end up unmarried for a large portion of their adult lives. What are some of the main takeaways from this book? Well, I don't want to necessarily give the book away, and I also don't necessarily want to give away some of my future episodes that I had planned on presenting to you way before I even read this book, but I will touch on a few. One, being overly picky, especially picky about things that don't really matter when it comes to sustaining a successful relationship, will come back to burn most women in the future. Two, it's a terrible idea to not realize, acknowledge, or accept that if you are a woman, there is a clock when it comes to dating and marriage. When I say clock, I'm referring to both fertility and the sheer fact that, even though this is politically incorrect, on the single dating market, the older a woman is beyond her early 30s, the less desirable she is to most men, men her own age, and men even 10 or 15 years older than her, and correspondingly, the fewer options she will have in her dating life. The third and final point that I'll bring up that Lori makes in this book, because I don't want to give everything away, is basically examining and analyzing what settling actually means. Towards the beginning of this book, a story is told that I never heard of before last fall, and then I heard it 5 times in 5 different places in a 5-week time span, one of those places being inside of this book. Anyway, I'll just go ahead and spoil this part and share it with you now. The story goes like this. A store is just opened in New York City that offers free husbands. When women go to choose a husband, they have the following instructions at the entrance. You may only visit this store once. There are 6 floors to choose from. You may choose any item from a particular floor or may choose to go up to the next floor, but you cannot go back down except to exit the building. So a woman goes to the store to find a husband. On the first floor, the sign says, Floor 1. These men all have jobs. The second floor sign reads, Floor 2. These men have jobs and love kids. The third floor sign reads, Floor 3. These men have jobs, love kids, and are extremely good looking. Wow, she thinks, but believes and feels compelled to keep going. She goes to the fourth floor and the sign reads, Floor 4. These men have jobs, love kids, are drop dead gorgeous, and help with the housework. Oh, mercy me, she exclaims. I can hardly stand it. Still, she goes up to the fifth floor and the sign reads, Floor 5. These men have jobs, love kids, are drop dead gorgeous, help with the housework, and have a strong romantic streak. She's so tempted to stay, but she goes to the sixth floor and the sign reads, Floor 6. You are visitor 71,456,012 to this floor. There are no men on this floor. This floor exists solely as proof that you are impossible to please. Thanks you for shopping at the husband store. To avoid gender bias charges, the store owner opened a wives store just across the street. The first floor had wives that love sex. The second floor had wives that love sex and have money. The third through sixth floor have never been visited. So, if you have never heard that story before, hopefully you understand the point that it's trying to make, which is similar to one of the main points that the book tries to make. There is a part of the book where she references a survey, both given to men and women, where it asks, if you got 80% of everything you wanted in your ideal partner, would you be happy? The majority of women said, no, that's settling. And the majority of men said, 80%? I'd be thrilled. That's a catch. So it's really a matter of perspective. In our society today, it seems as if women think and want it all when having and getting it all is unrealistic for 99.99% of women. Anyway, definitely pick up a copy of that book or download an Audible version of it. Check it out. See what you think of it. Then email me and let me know your thoughts. Did you learn something or did it just make you mad? Warning, this book would and is more beneficial to the younger woman, because the older woman will either be completely turned off by the book because it goes against many of the things she's been taught and believe her whole life, or it'll kind of make her sad because she'll be like, boy, I wish somebody would have told me this when I was 18. I wish somebody would have told me this when I was 25. And I wouldn't have wasted all this time and put myself behind the eight ball. And my life could be completely different today than it is. Let's move on to our third and final book of today, entitled His Needs, Her Needs, authored by Dr. Willard F. Hartley Jr. Dr. Hartley got his PhD in the late 60s and has been a licensed clinical psychologist since the mid 70s. From the early 80s to this day, Hartley has dedicated his life to the work of marriage, getting them together, keeping them together, and tending to them when there is crisis such as adultery or an impending divorce. This book, His Needs, Her Needs, has sold over 4 million copies worldwide and was originally written in 1986 and has been updated and republished approximately every 10 years since, with the last and most recent publishing being in 2011. So, Dr. Hartley's a little old, and the last book was released in 2011, so there's not a lot of smartphone, online dating type things in here. But the principles that he preaches and the things he talks about, which he has mostly discovered throughout his 40 years in the marriage field, still hold true and ring true to this day. In my opinion, human nature and human beings don't really change that much. Our environment changes, our socialization changes, but our needs and wants pretty much stay the same. So this book, His Needs, Her Needs, no matter if it's 1985 or 2022, needs remain the same. Before this book gets to the portion where it discusses his top five needs and her top five needs, it goes over a concept that I had not heard of worded this way, but once I read it, it made perfect sense, and it definitely seemed applicable to pretty much every relationship and everybody's romantic situation. And this concept that he brings up is called the love bank. The love bank. Basically, you can think of the love bank as a ledger or an account that we have with each person in our life that we care about, in which when they do something that makes us feel good or is associated with our good feelings, we add love units to their account. And when they do something or are associated with something that we despise, dislike, or hate, we withdraw love units from the account. We are emotionally attracted to people with positive balances on their ledger and correspondingly repulsed by those with negative balances on their ledger. Now, exactly how many units are added or what activity has to transpire in order to add love units is relative to the person and has many factors: love languages, what that person's top needs are, and other subconscious factors. But for instance, one of women's top needs, according to this book, is intimate conversation. So the average woman, one of her top five needs in a relationship is intimate conversation. So whoever in her life where she has a deep, meaningful conversation with, they're going to be adding on their ledger positive points in the love bank. Of course, you know, the type of relationship dictates the type of love, but I'm sure you're intelligent enough to be able to understand that without me over explaining it. Anyway, so the more deep conversations a woman has with, I don't know, let's say an acquaintance, that acquaintance becomes a friend, and that friend becomes a best friend. The more deep conversation she has with somebody she's dating becomes, or she'll want them to become, a boyfriend and eventually a husband, etc., etc. So this is a simplistic example of how to add units to one's love bank. And of course, correspondingly, the opposite is also true. If you have a pet peeve, for example, and somebody in your life always violates this pet peeve accidentally or on purpose, then anytime you're around them or you see them violating, they're going to be taking love units out of their love bank account. And if they haven't put enough positivity in there, and they start to go into the red, they start to go into the negative, this will be a person that you are annoyed by, don't want to be around, and you'll either downgrade your relationship with them or end your friendship relationship with them altogether. The author claims that our feelings of love, attraction, or repulsion are not a choice, but are merely the result of a particular individual's love bank balance. And personally, I do not have too much of an issue with an individual looking at things in this way. I feel like you guys get it. You understand the concept of the love bank. This concept is something that the author goes into toward the beginning of the book before he gets into the needs of each gender. And I just think it is an outstanding bit of work. Once we get beyond some of the introductory concepts that he introduced to his reader for the main middle portion of the book, each chapter is basically a chapter dedicated back and forth to each gender, where each chapter details a primary need that on average, an individual in a relationship of that gender would desire. He offers a disclaimer in his book that while he has assigned 5 needs to women and 5 primary needs to men, that each in particular relationship is unique and different, and each couple needs to go down this list of 10 and rank them to ensure that their top 5 needs are being met. Sometimes when a couple sits down, takes this list of 10 items, and ranks them, there will be some overlap in the top 5, which could make things simpler. But on average, he says, typically, the most important needs for men are the least important needs for women, and vice versa. So that's why he organizes the book in the manner in which he does. Side note, and this is an Alexander B. editorial, but why could things be easier if a couple of her top needs also are identical to a couple of his top needs? Well, because when it comes to love languages and need, most people follow the golden rule, and that is to treat other people like they want to be treated. But that isn't necessarily the best way to conduct yourself. You should treat other people the way that they want to be treated, which I believe is the platinum rule. Anyway, whatever love language you have, that's how you communicate love, and whatever needs the average person has, that is how they show love. So when there's an overlap, of course, this makes things easier. But the thing is, most of the time, there isn't going to be an overlap. So that's where you got to make a concerted effort to find out what your special person desires and needs the most, and to treat them the way that they want to be treated. Aside concluded. The last couple chapters of the book are dedicated to his philosophies and strategies on how a relationship can survive past an affair. Once again, he has 40 years of marriage counseling experience, so he goes through, not in too much detail, but the general outline of his step-by-step process in which a relationship can stay together despite one of the members violating the covenant of faithfulness. As someone who is extremely anti-divorce, I appreciated his words of wisdom regarding this subject. So, his needs, her needs. What do I think about this book? I think this book is outstanding. I would give it 4.7, 4.8 out of 5 stars. This book is great for marriage, great for relationships, and in my opinion, it's even good for the person that's not in a relationship to check out, because it will allow them to be able to prepare for what they need to focus on and need to give when they are in a relationship. I have very few, if any, issues with this book. The only thing that can maybe make it better is if it was updated for 2022. Maybe he partnered up with another person who does the same type of work as he does to get their perspective. And there's a couple parts that are a little bit woman-leaning, but hey, I'm a man in America in 2022. I'm used to things for public consumption being female-friendly and woman-leaning. But outside of that, this book is just great. Everyone under the sun that cares anything about relationships or is in one should buy this book, in my opinion. So let's move beyond the book review and let's get into some of the things that he brings up in his book, His Needs, Her Needs. Now, this is What Is He Thinking? And the whole purpose of this podcast is to give the male perspective on things. So I'm going to focus on his needs, at least as described by Dr. Willard Hartley in this book, and I'm going to give you my detailed commentary on each need and just generally give you the Alexander B. spin on this list of 5 needs that the average guy prioritizes over all others in a relationship. But I don't want to rush things, so how about we draw this episode to its conclusion, and next week you will hear an episode completely dedicated to his needs from the His Needs, Her Needs portion of this book. I am Alexander B. Stevens. This is What Is He Thinking? Please subscribe to the YouTube page. Like, share, comment, spread the good news. Oh, and please rate us on Apple Podcasts. I hope you enjoyed the authentic male perspective on dating and relationships.
Well, that wraps up this episode of the podcast. Alexander B. thanks you for taking time out of your day to listen to what he has to say. Hopefully, you feel the information shared today has helped you get one step closer to understanding men and one step closer to the type of relationship you have always dreamed of. If this episode spoke to you or you indeed felt that it was helpful, please share it with your friends and followers on social media and text the link to the episode to your inner circle of friends. If you have a future topic suggestion or need any clarification about anything that was shared during this episode, feel free to email the show at whatishethinking@gmail.com or follow and DM the show on Instagram at whatishethinking_podcast. Be clear and concise with your message, and Mr. Stevens will do his best to accommodate you. Once again, we appreciate you lending us a listening ear, and we hope your tomorrow is better than your yesterday. Enjoy the rest of your week. The podcast that is here to help you win with men, signing off. Until we speak again.